Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Brothers Geek. The Brothers Geek.
The Brothers Geek, episode 5.
Number 5.
Quattro.
That's
Cinco.
Not God. I thought you were joking at
first. I tried.
Oh man.
All right, I got there.
As you can see, we are professionals.
Very professionals.
But thank you for tuning in again. Thank you for all the downloads and subscriptions these last couple weeks. It's been awesome seeing some listeners coming on board, and we're excited. It's always fun for us. I hope you're having a good time too, just hanging out.
And we have some exciting news to bring later on in the episode about something else that you can enjoy.
What are you talking about?
We made it just this past week.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You forgot.
I did.
You got drunk and forgot.
Yeah. Well, it happens.
It happens. Oh, man. Well, so, welcome.
Welcome.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris.
And what are we drinking tonight on this hot September day?
It feels like, here we are in Southern California, and it feels like we are just in the middle of Georgia or something.
Georgia!
And it's just, it is overcast and hot and muggy. And it's probably nowhere near the humidity of the South. We're probably being wusses. But God, it feels bad.
It's pretty bad. I mean, last summer I was in Chicago for a friend's wedding during the summer.
So you're an expert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm an expert at it. But no, it was nothing compared to that, but that was just awful. I wanted to kill myself.
Oh, man. I mean, I've been to Nashville, but not in the summer. Not in, like, this.
Not in the dead of summer.
Yeah. Not in the, fireflies getting...
It's a good song.
...drenched in the humidity and just falling to the ground summer. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we drinking?
Trying to make it a little bit refreshing for the heat. It is from Modern Times, a brewery down in San Diego. It is called Fruitlands, and it is the Fruitlands with blood orange and hibiscus. There's another one with, like, passion fruit or something. And I have yet to try it. It's a sour, or at least it's got that, like, going towards sour.
Yeah, got that vibe.
But I haven't tried it. So, we should probably, cheers, number 5. Ooh, it's got some tart.
Does have some tart.
It's good.
It's actually good. I'm usually not a fan of sours, but we've had two on this show. The first one we did, the Rubaeus or whatever.
Oh, that's right, from, Founders.
Founders, and then now this one, and this one's good.
Yeah, it's not, like, overwhelming.
It's on that same level as the Rubaeus.
Yeah, it's not, like, a sour, actual sour, because this is nice and calm.
Yeah.
But you still get that, like, tart up front, you know? Modern Times, man.
Modern Times is so good. I don't think I've had one that I haven't liked.
I think...
There's ones that I like less, obviously, but...
There's, like... Some of the wheat beers, this is actually, like, base wheat beer, with the blood orange kind of infused into it, so, that's where you get kind of the more mellowness, I think, they're still just refreshing, especially on a freaking hot day like today.
Yeah, I already feel better.
I know, right?
So, Chris, what have you been playing, or watching, or reading this week? Or listening to? You have podcasts you've been listening to?
Yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, I have been. Ever since we started, I'm like, why am I not listening to more podcasts? So, I'm loving F This Movie. Their podcast is awesome. They have good in-depth, like, they just watch movies all the time and just talk about them, and they're pretty damn funny. And then you can go back and, like, look at movies you like. So I was just listening to their Jurassic World podcast, and it's got some good stuff.
Yeah.
It makes me want to watch it again and realize just
how bad it is.
Even though that will forever probably be a guilty pleasure movie for me.
Yeah.
I won't let Jurassic Park die, goddammit. I've been listening to Fantasy Footballers podcast, and And then just kind of checking out a couple, just trying out some more. Some of the Giant Bombcast, which is actually kind of like the idea for our topic, came from that podcast today, because I just disagree wholeheartedly with some of the stuff.
Right.
They said it was just like 2 seconds, too. But in terms of movies, I'm trying to culture myself in story. I'm kind of catching up on things I've missed the last couple years. Last week I talked about watching Inside Llewyn Davis, and yeah. So I was talking to my friend, and he's like, you should just, like, complete the trifecta of Oscar Isaac movies, because I watched Ex Machina,
right,
and I didn't realize Oscar Isaac was in it, and he's got, like, this just, like, huge beard.
Huge beard.
And he's bald. So I'm like, is that? What? I couldn't tell at first.
He's pretty short.
Okay.
Just saying. Just up against the other dude that was also in Force Awakens.
That's right. There was 2 Force Awakens guys in that one.
He was shorter. I don't know how tall that guy is, though. So
that's true.
He's a Brit, though. He can't be that tall.
Are all British people short?
Yes.
Okay. You heard it here first, I guess. And that was just unbelievable. I loved that movie so much. There was just so much going on. It just takes... I don't want to spoil anything at all. You should absolutely watch that movie, because there's a lot to think about in it. The acting is so well done. I should have looked up her name, because I don't remember who plays, like, the AI in it. And that's not a spoiler. You should know. Yeah, Ava. She does such a great job portraying emotions, sometimes just in her looks. I mean, just in her, like, facial expressions, because she's literally a face. You know, like, there's pretty much the rest of it's just robotic-looking body. But her face is there, and so she has to act a lot through just facial expression. Some, like, head tilting and that kind of thing, too. But, you know, there's times where, like, she's a robot, so she can, like, catch minute variations in your face to see if you're, like, lying or whatever. So just the looks, like, she doesn't need to say anything. She'll just look at another actor, and it's just like, oh, he's lying, or he's, you know, holding something back, because just the way she looks at him, it's so great. And the ending is just like, oh my god. You just have all these ideas of who the characters are, who we think they should be based off, like, just cultural context of how these characters should act. And by the end of it, you're just like, oh my god. Like, so please watch it. Like, it's that good. And so I finished up the trifecta after that movie with A Most Violent Year. And again, another movie that just kind of, you just think you know where it's going in terms of what a, like, businessman, maybe shady dealings, maybe is there the mafia involved? I don't know. Teamsters, kind of gritty business owner from the 80s, industry business owner. And you kind of have an idea of how that kind of stuff goes. Like, what's, like, every Al Pacino movie or something like that. And it just doesn't go in those directions at all. And it's wonderful. But I still don't know how I feel about the ending. So I'm still thinking that one over. Because it's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
So those are I think I watched something else in there too, but maybe not. Those were, like, my two movies of the week. I started reading The Gunslinger and the Dark Tower series by Stephen King. And it has maybe... I don't think I talked about this last week.
I don't think so.
Has maybe... I'm only, like, 40 pages in. But it has maybe my favorite description almost ever of just wind. It's just a simple description of wind, but in it you get, like, what it sounds like, the emotion of, like, what's going on, and, like, the desolation and, like, just close to death of the scenery, because it's the gunslinger walking through this, like, desolate desert, and the wind is described as a witch moaning like she has cancer in her belly. And it's like, oh, like,
yeah,
what's the most gross, gross with gross things inside them, you know? So
yeah, I just picture a hag from The Witcher.
Yeah. Just like cancerous, like, tumors. Well, yeah, ugh, like, gross. Screaming in pain, you know, from it. That's the win. So not a whole lot of playing. I gotta beat the fire temple in Ocarina so I can get to the water temple, and maybe we should do like a drunk run through of that. Oh, just have that.
You're describing it to me, yeah.
Yeah, have some rules set up. Like every time you have to change your boots or something.
Yeah. So that brings us to what I've been playing, which is... You were there while I was playing it.
That's true.
Was Legend of the Dragoon.
Yes.
We started our Drunk Goon series that I was now up on our YouTube channel, which is just The Brothers Geek. And you can find it. It's called... The Brothers Play, Legend of the Drunk Goon.
If you, like, type in The Brothers Geek Drunk Goon, it's, like, the first thing. It's got the dart and his red armor, just kind of scribbled out Dragoon and Drunk Goon underneath. And, or if you type in The Brothers Play Drunk Goon, it also comes up. It's, like, the first thing.
Yeah, so make sure you check it out. It's a longer video, but, I mean, it's about as long as a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's like an hour and a half, maybe not even that much.
Yeah, hour 20-something.
Okay.
And, yeah, we go through it, play a little drinking game that you can play along in. I have to say, I'm pretty proud of myself for some of the edits I make.
Yeah, you added some pretty funny stuff,
too. Yeah, that video wasn't edited drunk. I had to definitely edit that sober to make those edits.
Right, drunk, edit sober.
Yeah. So, yeah, play drunk, edit sober. but yeah, so that's up. We already have a comment on it that just went up yesterday.
Yeah.
Some guy commented, like...
We celebrate everything here. Yeah. The Brothers Geek.
One small step for the Brothers Geek, one giant step for nobody.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thought that was gonna be inspiring.
Nope. I'm not freaking hold the line guy. I can't be inspiring. So yeah, make sure you check that out. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment, leave a like.
We'll be posting some more stuff. Obviously, we're going to go through Dragoon little by little. It's a long game, so it's going to be probably spread out.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, we got other ideas we want to do.
Yeah.
And,
October's coming up. We want to play some scary games in preparation for Halloween.
Great. Wonderful.
Stuff like that. So played that. I just got today the Bioshock Remastered Collection. Haven't gotten to play it yet, but I'm excited because it's been a while, and you've never played
I've never played it.
So
it's like that big game series. I just never got around to it.
So you are a loser because of that.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the better game series, and especially if you like story and twists and stuff like that, you will like Bioshock a lot. And I would be excited to see you play it as a fresh sort of player that's never played it before.
Yeah.
So we should definitely do something with that.
Yeah, maybe we should do something with that.
And then as far as watching...
You finally caught up.
I finally caught up to Mr. Robot. Yeah, well, I was only a couple episodes behind.
Every week.
Yeah, but I caught up, and I will remain caught up. So, yeah, that show is... I mean, I'm really happy that Rami Malek, or Malek, I don't know, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. The main character
won the
Emmy.
He won the Emmy. Yeah, I saw that.
So I'm glad for him.
Can we talk about the Stranger Things kids from the Emmys? I mean, that sounded like the best thing ever.
I watched the video of them doing Uptown Funk.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny and really cute.
Yeah, well, it's just they just handed out PB&J sandwiches to the audience and stuff.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Kimmel's mom wrote, like, a letter in each one or something. Like,
yeah, because on Instagram, I follow Amelia Clark. Obviously. I'm not going to follow Amelia Clark on Instagram, right? And she posted a picture of her with her sandwich, and there was, like, a little written note, and it said, like, even if you don't win, like, your mom loves you or something like that.
And then in parentheses, Jimmy's mom.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so it was really good, which... She was... It's not even fair for other females.
Oh my god.
When she's walking around at the Emmys. Like, I was talking to a good friend and listener of the show, Michael, about it. And, it's just not fair. I feel bad for everybody else.
She top bae?
She is top bae, but second top bae is a new discovery. She's in Mr. Robot. She plays one of the main characters. Her real name is Carly Chaikin. Quite attractive. And a very good actress. And then I've also been reading. I started reading Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Oh, so good.
By Ray Bradbury.
Ray Bradbury.
Ray Bradbury. And I've read it before, but it was in high school, like junior year of high school. So it's been a while. It's really good, really creepy, kind of perfect time as October's coming around.
That's true. It's good. It's a good October pickup.
It's a good October. I highly suggest that book if you're looking for a kind of creepy Halloween spooky book. Just in general, it's about two really close friends, kids, both boys, and this crazy weird carnival comes in around to town.
Which,
and
in general, carnivals are scary.
That's all you need to know.
In general, carnivals are scary, so.
Yeah, and weird stuff happens, and it's really good. It's really good. A lot of imagery, a lot of symbolism.
Might as well start now, because if you're a reader like me, I'll be done in December or something.
Yeah, that's why I'm starting it now. Because it's also because I'm reading, like, two other books, but they're more, like, self-help sort of books. Like, I'm reading this one book called Changes That Heal. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's no point in me talking about it, because it's just, like, it's basically a book about looking at your past to see how you can make yourself a better future.
Yeah.
And it's by the psychologist guy. It's really good.
You can get deep as shit here.
It'll ruin your life. So yeah, and then I've also been listening to podcasts. I've also been listening to The Weekly Planet, which is a podcast that I've listened to for a couple years off and on. Just now started to listen to them again. Really good. Two guys from Australia. Just talking about, I mean, they are sort of, it's the official podcast of comicbookmovies.com, so that's what they generally talk about, is comic books and comic book movies, and they always have a news section, which I enjoy hearing. So I just recently discovered, like, Margot Robbie is going to produce and be in a Harley Quinn solo movie, which she was the best part about Suicide Squad, so, so yeah, and then also, they also found out that Memento is getting a remake.
What?
That, like, just came out.
Yeah, right?
So, I don't know what. What? I don't know how Christopher Nolan is involved in it.
Yeah.
He's probably just producing it and gonna make that money.
Get that money.
So that's a really good podcast. I've also been listening to Fantasy Footballers, which is a good segue.
Should we talk about yet another week of victory and defeat for you, my friend?
This beer reflects the way I feel. Sour.
And a little, like, empty at the end of it?
Yeah, a little empty at the end. I'm salty. That doesn't describe this beer, salty. I lost by 1 point.
Awesome. That's two brutal losses.
And it's because my number one pick did absolutely nothing.
Antonio Brown?
Yep, he got, like, 3 points.
I mean, considering all the injuries this week, you kind of came out scot-free.
Yeah, at least I do have something that nobody else in the league has, which is all my players are healthy. And I have a lot of depth in my bench. So
I was going to gloat and talk about how I won and stuff, but I was lucky as hell. So
yeah, it was your 80-point game that you win somehow.
That's the road to every champion has that.
Every champion has one.
That's the road to victory. Is the super low scoring game you somehow pull through. So,
and what made it even worse was the Packers also lost.
Yeah.
So that was also a brutal loss. But I have Stephon Diggs, but I didn't play him. Great!
You should always play against Packers, because then it's, if Packers win, you're happy. Stephon Diggs tears them up, at least you got something.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but Stephon Diggs is now going to be a regular
person
in my line. Just not this week, because they're playing Carolina, but in Carolina, so I'm just kind of like, Isaiah Crowell should do good against Miami, so they've allowed a lot of running yards I was looking at, so rushing yards, running yards.
Maybe I'll win one. Maybe.
We'll see.
Or lose by two this time.
You know, now I'm kind of in this mindset, like, I better just start winning, or I better just not win at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So at least I can just be that guy that's like, man, you got a really good team, but how did you not win? I can be like, I don't know. I quit fantasy, because then I'll just quit at that point.
Can't but quit at the end of the year.
Then I won't.
Yeah.
I'll come back, but.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to be last, because then the punishment is you don't waver or whatever.
That's right. For, like, the first 2 weeks
or something. Yeah. Which is stupid.
Which is tough, dude.
So, yeah. You should at least get a handicap for however we do the draft next time.
We'll see how it works out.
Yeah, so, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, that's fantasy this week.
That's our weeks, fantasy and nerdiness-wise.
Yeah.
So, guess we should just tear right into it.
Let's go jump right in.
Okay, so here's the story. I kind of mentioned it last week.
Yeah, how you came up with this topic.
Yeah. There was the Bombcast podcast, or it's called Giant Bombcast.
Yeah.
It's a video game podcast.
Very popular podcast.
Yeah, super long episodes, though. I mean, I think we have long episodes, and they're like 3 hours long.
That's a lot.
It's crazy. They're entertaining, though, so it's not like, you don't feel those, and I break them up into half-hour segments on my drive to work. Finally, like...
You finished the episode.
Finally
the other
got
day.
towards the end of the episode, because the episode's called Ranking the Zeldas. And I was like, oh, sweet, what a great episode to start out. It's their most recent episode. Like 2.5 hours into the podcast, they finally like get to mail. And they just answer some guy's mail that happened to end up with them ranking the Zeldas. It's like, jeez. It took a long time.
A little bait and switch there.
Yeah, gee. But you know, whatever.
It worked.
If I read the description, it wouldn't have been so. It was like, we talk about PAX and, you know.
Yeah.
But, so basically they start ranking, pretty understandable and standard top, like, four. I think the first one was, like, A Link to the Past, then it was, like, Ocarina, and, but they got to, like, six, and they hadn't mentioned Majora's, and I'm like, that's usually, like, the hipster number one, you know?
Right.
It's
one of my favorites.
Yeah. And so the one guy actually writing the list down so they could keep track, he's like, I have to put Majora in here. Like, it's already gone too long. I'm like, finally, somebody's, like, stepping up to the plate here. And the main guy is just like, no, it shouldn't be on the list, top 10 list. He's like, what are you talking about? And that was my reaction as I'm swerving on the freeway.
Right.
What are you talking about? I'm the top 10. And the main reason he said it shouldn't be in the top 10 is because it was like, he described it as, it's like somebody modded Ocarina of Time, used the same character models to just do another story. There's no gameplay development, like, advance, and it's just a crappy sequel that was for budgetary reasons, and it doesn't work.
Right.
I'm like, I was just blown away, because I had never heard such a strong opinion, especially in that direction.
Yeah.
I would understand if he was like, it's just weird, and I don't like the feel of it compared to other Zeldas. I'm like, I would understand.
It's way too dark
for a Zelda
game, in my opinion, or whatever.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay. But that was just a modded game? What are you talking about? First of all, let's just bypass the fact that he's wrong.
Right.
Because the whole time limit aspect...
And the masks, those are gameplay elements
that
are new.
So those transform you, and those are new. But granted, literally every model in the game is the same character model from Ocarina of Time.
But that might be on purpose.
Yeah. Either way, I think, even if they did it as a budgetary reason to like, okay, if we're just going to use the same models, they could have gone in like the easy direction of like, okay, he's Young Link again at the end of Ocarina. Let's just have a story in Hyrule again. Then we don't have to change the map.
Like, right, yeah, exactly. I mean,
they could just have different entrances to different dungeons or something. They could just bullshit their way through
it. There are new character models in Majora.
They're here and there.
Yeah.
But so it's not like a whole developed game of new models.
Right. And there's new enemies and stuff, too.
Yeah, oh yeah. But in terms of gameplay, he's not wrong. It's the same mechanics.
Yeah, basically the same.
Yes, you have that little addition. But again, it's just like kind of...
But you
on
do
top.
Flips when you jump.
Okay. You can do flips when you're jumping in Ocarina, like backwards.
Yeah, but like if you jump from ledge to ledge to ledge. Remember the very beginning of Majora's when you are hopping on the tree trunks?
Uh-huh.
And you go whoop, and then you do like a side flip and a front flip to get there. Like you're flipping forward.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's weird.
Suddenly, Link got acrobatic.
And he was just like, you know, I'm a kid again. Why not enjoy
Whee!
It? Oh, there I go down the road.
I broke my neck. Dead.
So, that brought up the question, do you have to have those gameplay mechanics to be advanced or added on in, like, significant ways to have a quote-unquote successful good game? Do you have to have something advance, like, to a point where it's like, okay, this is, feels really new? You know, like, this is obviously the next step. It's not just, you just tack on a little, like, different gameplay mechanic in the masks or something.
Right.
It's like a totally different, like, Mass Effect 1, really janky controls to Mass Effect 2, like, clean and different shields and different, you know, the whole different feel of the combat system in general, not to mention other things going on.
Right.
You know, like, do you have to have that happen to have a successful sequel?
Right. Well, so, just taking Mass Effect as an example.
Which Mass Effect comes up every episode, and I appreciate that.
Which is fine. So, going from 1 to 2, I don't think it would have been necessary to have those gameplay elements, like, a lot better, obviously. But it definitely also helped.
Well, yes. I'm not saying I don't want gameplay mechanics.
Right, but as far as the story goes, it wasn't necessary to have those gameplay mechanics.
No, yeah.
And people would have still bought that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And still would have played it, and the story would have still been highly regarded, and the characters and all that would have remained the same.
It would have been criticized for not trying to do something.
Yes, yes. So a part
that
would have
been
me,
the main thing. Right. Everyone would have been harping on, why didn't, it's just the same game, it's just a different story.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yeah. So a part of me says yes and no. So a part of me is like, yes. So, well, a part of me is no, you don't need new gameplay mechanics to have a successful game or a good story, obviously. And you don't even need new characters. I mean, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is successful, but they all, it's always the same characters and even the same story. But, you know, because it's...
Well,
but...
That'll bring up a point later on.
Right, right. So, like, you don't need it, but it's also greatly, greatly appreciated and greatly, greatly benefits. So, yeah, Majora's Mask didn't have a lot of huge gameplay mechanics changed, but it was enough, in my opinion, to, like, benefit the game of, like, oh, it's something new, you know? It's not just cut and dry the same, and I'm in a new map and stuff like that too, you know.
Yeah,
I'm a new story.
I don't mind like a new location.
Yeah,
like that's part of a new story,
right? And then you sort of jump from Majora's to Wind Waker, and it's like, oh my gosh, everything's on the ocean now. Like that's completely different.
Well, yeah,
you know, which works, and I think in good ways. And there's new items and stuff like that too, and
well, in a lot of ways that game is very, there's a lot of typical just Zelda stuff, but the fact that they made it on the sea and had those gameplay mechanics probably did take it to the next level.
Yeah, which Wind Waker is my favorite. I'm not saying it's the best Zelda, but it's my favorite.
Yeah.
Should
be on a top 10.
Oh yeah, and I think it is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But Mass Effect, I think, is the prime example, one of the prime examples of that jump from 1 to 2 is very, as far as gameplay, very drastic.
In a good way.
In a very good way. I'm trying to think of a game that is very drastic gameplay mechanics that's bad.
I could think of one right now.
What?
Zelda 2.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, like, turns to side-scroll, basically. And it's real janky, because it's really hard, not because it's designed to be hard, I think there's some elements of that, but it's because
it's
really bad, like, mechanics that just don't work out. And what's funny is they actually, in that list, had that as a top 10 because it experimented trying to do something different.
Right. But, I can think of another example.
But
is when Sonic went 3D. A lot of people argue that that's when it started to go downhill
for
Sonic.
For sure.
But, so it's just sort of, how do you want to set up your gameplay, and base it off of that, and build off of that, and make the changes necessary? So, like, you don't want to, and when, yeah, good job trying to experiment, but when that doesn't work, you know, go back to what
worked. And they did go back, obviously. And I'm not
Sonic
saying,
didn't.
Like, I do get, like, somebody appreciating, because they actually said they put it in that list because it experiments.
Right.
And they also said... Another argument against Majora from the one guy he said it just doesn't have that, like, Zelda feel. And then one guy, one of the other members said, but you have Zelda 2 on there, and that definitely doesn't have, like, the Zelda feel to it, you know?
Right.
And so it's, you know, but I think, I mean, I appreciate trying to do something different, and when it works, it's great. But, and they did take elements from Zelda 2, moved it into, like, the rest of the Zelda universe. I mean, we have Dark Link for the first time, that kind of stuff. But again, story element things.
Right.
But I guess I just hate that a game comes down to under a microscope of just that one element of it needs to have new game play mechanics or else it's just not worth it. And that seems crazy to me. In fact, I kind of am surprised more game developers haven't gone to, especially with like all the criticism against EA, just trying to get cash, you know, throwing things out as quick as possible to get cash. And I'm surprised there hasn't been more that went that direction of, we have set up good gameplay mechanics, we found what worked, we're going to do it over the course of this series. And because we can use the same character models and the same mechanics and the same engine, we can crank out games really quickly. And now you can have a concise, like, determined story instead of having one game come out and it's like, here's the story and it's great. There can be another game that comes out, but it's like 4 years later because they have to develop the new gameplay mechanics and the new engine, and now the world looks different, things feel different, the story goes in a different direction because they just didn't just continue it, or they didn't take that theme and run with it. They're like, let's do this different. And I just feel like I would like to see a series come out that has those gameplay mechanics that are fine, they're good, and then just rapid kind of like movies that come out, a series of movies that come out every year or every other year that follow like a chain of story, you know? And I feel like that's kind of weird. I feel like developers should get on that. But then I know right away the criticism would be, it's just the same thing.
Right, and that, but yeah. And I agree partially. Like, I think story is one of the, if not the most important element, but I also feel like you've quickly run into the trap of, that's also sort of looking at a game under a microscope as well, of okay. just focusing on one part. Because I do think, like, improving upon gameplay mechanics can enhance a story. Like, if you have a really good game that has a game that has a really good story, but the gameplay mechanics are so janky or so rough or so slow, that kind of hinders from your experience of trying to enjoy the story.
Right.
Or if you are in a game that, like, all these other games are looking beautiful aesthetically, but you're still, because they have taken that time, but then you're cranking out a game and it still looks, it looks like it's 2 years behind or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, so Witcher. Perfect is a really good example. Witcher 1 is rough.
That's true.
It's rough. Like, the story is there, but I don't even really remember it that much. Like, I've played it, and I don't even really remember the story that much because the gameplay mechanics were very, very rough. It's an older game, so the graphics aren't as good, obviously. For the time, they were probably fine, but...
Yeah.
It's still, it is a PC game, so you expect a little bit more. And it definitely, like, that rough gameplay mechanic and the not as good aesthetics, especially because, you know, it's, you can go right behind Geralt in, like, the third person, but there's a lot of, like, the camera isn't, like, the camera angles and stuff aren't
great. That's right, I do remember that, yeah.
And the gameplay mechanics of, like, switching your stances... determined by, like, what type of enemy, like, you are going up against. Just didn't work for that, sort of, like, what they were going for, yeah. Which was a fast-paced
action game.
But...
And it was like...
It forces you to slow down, because you have to click at certain moments to continue your combo, and if you're in the wrong stance, you're gonna be blocked or whatever. And so, like, all I took out of that game was, like, oh, Geralt is regaining his memory? I guess that's the story. You know, like, okay, cool. But then you get to 2, and you're like, oh, wow. Like, whole, like, okay, combat is a lot quicker now. You dodge. There's no, like, 3 stances. There's strong attack and quick attack. That's it. And, like, you can use it on any enemy. Yeah, some, you know, some of it might work a little better if you're up against a heavy armored person. You know, use strong attacks, you know, obviously. But, like, you could use quick attack. It's not gonna
hinder you.
Yeah. I mean, it's not gonna penalize
maybe
you.
Maybe not the best way to do it, but you can do it.
Yeah, it's not gonna penalize you. Like, yeah. That person, if you're only using quick attacks, isn't gonna just wreck you because you're an idiot and not using the right stance or whatever. And the graphics were upgraded a lot, you know, and then I was like, oh, this, I was getting to the story, like, oh, I gotta hunt down this guy, because he's a witcher, I guess, you know, and he's kind of going rogue and stuff like that. And then, obviously, when 3 came around...
I mean, that's the pinnacle.
That is, yeah, it's the pinnacle.
All the gameplay mechanics are wonderful, and the graphics are unbelievable.
Yeah, and the story is amazing.
But, you're talking about a game that started out with really rough gameplay mechanics. Ocarina of Time has really, really nice mechanics, especially for the transformation from, like, 2D to 3D. You know, when they were, like, going from scratch, almost, of trying to make this series fit into a new medium, and they made it work, and they made it work really smoothly for the most part.
Yeah.
And that next game, let's just do that again! And have this incredible story. And for it to be just... No, it's not good because they didn't do anything new.
Right, yeah. I don't agree with that guy's argument.
No, yeah, but...
But I'm also trying to, like, see the other side of it as well.
Yeah, but...
Because then you go to a Wind Waker, which adds a gameplay mechanic in combat of counterattacks.
Yeah.
And I like that mechanic a lot. And it's not really used anymore.
In any other games. I feel like they used it in, like, Twilight Princess. Like, you still swerve around to the back and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't play Skyward Sword.
Yeah, neither did I, so I don't know.
I think it's in there, too.
Yeah.
But and then they tried to add, like, the stamina bar in Skyward Sword, too.
Yeah.
And I think it's back for...
I think it's back, too.
Breath of the Wild, but...
So, like, I think... Yeah, they didn't need the counterattack system for it to be a good game, but I think it only adds to it.
Yeah, and I'm not
So I'm saying, like, you can always add and make things better or, you know, or new.
No, you can.
And that just makes it better overall.
And that's fine. It's just, maybe there's a big cultural, like, necessity for there to be gameplay changes to make a sequel good, you know?
Right.
I'm not saying gameplay mechanics, like, aren't contributing to a game being better. You could take a story that was already good, Mass Effect, and make it better to make because of these gameplay changes. And because of those, Mass Effect 2 is regarded as one of the best RPGs of all time.
Yeah.
Even more so than, like, the third one. Right. Which we've talked about.
Right. So, going from 2nd to 3, they didn't change a lot. And it's, you know, as far as gameplay
goes. That's true. And it's great.
And it's, it's because they did, like, they still added... Like
the knife,
there's still new things, like the melee knife and stuff, and then gathering war resources and stuff, which is kind of into, but the best change from 2 to 3 is you don't have to fucking scan for resources and mine shit off the planet, and send down probes.
Sure,
there's none of that, which was.
Wasn't there
kind
something
of pointless? Else? Yeah, there is. Like, you get resources off stuff, but you don't have to go through the whole, like, the blips and seeing where, to, like, the...
Oh, that's right. You just...
Like, the clicker.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, you just scan.
Yeah.
Which I felt was a good change.
Yes.
But
again, like, gameplay changes are fine. It's just you don't... I guess my opinion is you don't need them to have a successful sequel. And I think a lot of times, sequels come under that scrutiny of, well, it didn't change anything.
Yeah, you don't need them, but
It can work. It can be fantastic things, and I would want developers to ultimately push for new gameplay development.
Right.
But why just focus on
why that is under so much scrutiny? It's almost like, oh, these graphics weren't updated very much. Like that argument.
Yeah.
When a game comes out the year later. So, Assassin's Creed, especially the Ezio storyline.
Yeah.
Is the closest to what you are describing.
True.
Because
Uncharted probably too.
Yeah. But that they didn't come out one right after the other.
Yeah, that's true.
Assassin's Creed came out 1 year, and then the next year, and then the next year with 2, Brotherhood and Revelation. Revelations. I think it's with an S. and it's, you know, you're following the same character, the same characters, the story is advancing, and the gameplay mechanics, they are differences. So, like, in Brotherhood, you have the whole training other assassins thing, which is really cool. In 3, you have a sweet hook thing that you can, like... I didn't play Revelations, but I know, like, there's... You can, like, create different types of bombs, like smoke bombs and other type of things, and the crafting is a little bit more intense, and you have, like, a hook thing that you can...
Hook thing!
Swing on stuff with, or whatever. And it's Old Man Ezio, which isn't really a gameplay mechanic, but it's cool. Because it just reminds me of, like, Dark Knight Rises, old Batman. So, like, you know, that is the closest to what you're describing.
Yeah.
And many would say that those are sort of the best...
Those are kind of the core.
Yeah.
You know, where they had a more
because
concise...
Assassin's Creed 1 is rough. The gameplay is rough.
No, I think it's good. It's just... After about, 2 hours, you're like, okay?
It's the same thing over and over again.
But that's part of the story, too. And that's a story problem.
Right.
If they kind of develop the story more, having just those mechanics.
But the free running in Assassin's Creed 1 is really bad compared to the other ones. It's very rough. Like, you jump where you don't want to jump, or don't jump at all. Yeah, exactly. He just kind of goes wherever.
But in terms of story, though, where I'm making my point of... If developers did this more, you'd have more of a kind of focused story taking you in a direction. That's where I think they were kind of going in a direction, and then it derailed when it went to a new system. And as much as I like Black Flag and stuff, it just goes all over the place story-wise, especially like the modern stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just like, what the hell is happening? I really thought...
Because I really enjoyed the story, and then it fell flat.
It just doesn't... I think they're just, okay, we can't end it yet. Okay, we can't end it yet. Okay, we can't end it yet.
And they will always be there.
Yeah.
And that's sort of why I don't really play the Assassin's Creed anymore. Because I was like, I literally thought it was going to be 1, 2, and then 3.
And they just drew out 2 into like 3 different
ones.
And then
they drew out 3, which I was okay with Brotherhood. But then I found out Revelations was happening, and I watched the trailer, and I was like, this looks good, but please move on. And I didn't play Revelations, but then I played 3, and I beat it, and at the end of 3, I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting where this is going, because now the spoiler alert for Assassin's Creed 3, I don't even know, like, 5 years ago this game came out or whatever, the dude's dead. The main character.
Yeah.
What's his face?
Yeah.
I don't even remember his name. he's dead. Okay. I'm back into the story now, because now a major twist has
happened.
Oh,
Miles.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm in this now. And her name's not Elena, but that's what I'm thinking of right now. I forget her name. Is also dead, and she turned out to be a Templar person, and you were on the run in 3.
It was like, she was a Templar, but then she wasn't a Templar, and then she was a Templar.
And then you kill her. Because... Goddess lady tells you. Because
you're just
too.
Like, no.
Yeah.
And your hand's like going over.
I think that happens at the end of Brotherhood.
Okay.
And so, like.
And I remember at the end of Brotherhood being like, oh shit.
I want to see where this goes, and I didn't play Revelations. And then I was back in on 3. Yeah. And then I got to 4, and the. In real world stuff, you never find out who you're playing as.
Yeah.
You're working for Abstergo.
Yeah.
and you're like, okay, what the fuck?
And but you have,
but you are recalling the memories of Miles's
experiences
ancestors still. So I was like, what the fuck? Am I a brother? Am I his dad? Because his dad gets introduced, you know.
But he seems like a new guy because the team, you know, at least some of them. Right?
Isn't
there, like, to some of the guys you
are contacting,
like, they, like, come in as, like, couriers or something.
Yeah.
But you don't seem to know them, and they kind of treat you like the rook, you know, like...
Yeah, so I've... So, and then after that, I haven't played one since. Because it lost me. So, that's why I say, like, story is probably the most important element. Because Black Flag, my favorite part of that, wasn't really the story. It was sailing the ocean seas.
Being a pirate,
being
dude.
Being a pirate. So,
I don't want to be a pirate.
But I did in that moment. but gameplay alone cannot hold something. So,
right.
So that's why I think, like, so in Overwatch, a game that I haven't played in a while, but I loved for a long time, and I'm going to go back to it, especially now because Season 2 is coming and stuff, so I want to get back into it. But I've been playing other stuff like Smite, which is another game that's solely gameplay.
Right.
Or a No Man's Sky. No story at all, really. And then let's see, nobody's played that in a month now, you know? So it's like...
It's because they stopped being able to name my planets without getting erased.
Yeah, because the...
I would still have played.
Because they focused on gameplay, but they couldn't deliver on what they said that they were going to do.
That's true.
So when you only have gameplay... And then you find out, ooh, we can't do that. That sucks. Because if it had a story, I'd be like, okay, whatever. Naming the planets isn't that big of a deal if I'm following this story.
Yeah, there's a big arc of,
that's
like,
really intriguing.
What's happening. And
yeah.
It's super mystery.
I'd be like, okay, I wouldn't be able to find those planets again anyway, whatever. You know? So, like, because I'm exploring all these planets because I'm on this rabbit trail or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But then, you know, they couldn't do that. So I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to play it anymore. You know, I wasted $60. And maybe I'll go back once they introduce base building and stuff, but, you know, I'm not marking the days off my calendar or anything, you know?
Yeah.
So another good example is a series like Dark Souls. Demon Souls, pretty rough, gameplay mechanics and stuff like that, but a different type of game because it's brutal, it's very punishing. It's very difficult, doesn't hold your hand, you're kind of just thrown in there. And then a Dark Souls 1, which is like, okay, we have really tuned up these gameplay mechanics, it's open world, more open world now, it's not like, you know, area 1-1, area, you know, 1-2 or whatever anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the class system is a lot better and stuff like that. And there's a more of a story element. It's very vague, but it's there.
Right.
Which I think works in its favor for people who, like, wow, I really love this world, and there is a story, there's enough of a story there, or, like, I want to dig deeper into it, I want to read into the lore and stuff like that. So, like, there is a story, but you just have to kind of work for it, like, you have to work for everything else in that goddamn series. You know, so, and then Dark Souls 2, a lot of people think that's the worst one, which I agree, where they kind of, they take a half step or a step back as far as some stuff, but then they sort of take a break, go to Bloodborne, which is just a completely different world and, you know, new gameplay mechanics, you know, out the wazoo.
Yeah.
And a lot of people love that game, and I love that game. And then Dark Souls 3, which I think is sort of almost the perfect combination of everything. So it's like, that is a good, I think a really good example of a game that takes its story, tries to develop on it and work off of other things and make it a better story, and continuation, but also try new things with gameplay, always try to improve on gameplay.
Yeah.
But make sure the things that are working, no need to change them.
Right. So I guess what it comes down to, in lieu of, like, having this whole conversation derail completely, just go off on a completely different tangent, I guess to sum up, like, if you've got the good gameplay mechanics already, and you make a story that's also good, or the gameplay mechanics are fun enough to just have, like Sonic or something, like the original Sega Genesis Sonic. Like, there's no story necessarily. Like, kill Dr. Robotnik. Like,
yeah, he's kidnapping these animals.
Yeah, you know, you're just shooting through the level as fast as you can. And can I do it faster? Can I do it faster? Beat the bosses and keep going. And it's fun. It's Mario, you know, with ADD.
Yeah.
And, you can just keep doing that as long as you kind of just have decent enough levels to play through. You don't have to change game.
Right, and there's a goal that you're going for.
So if you've got the gameplay already, and especially if you've got the story to go along with it, you could just make another game and have that as long as you're advancing the story and there's something new to experience, because games are a story medium.
Yeah.
And to criticize just the gameplay mechanics,
yeah,
because they're good gameplay mechanics, but because they're the same exact ones from the last game,
yeah, the argument falls through.
It's dumb.
Yeah. And I would agree with you. The only thing I would add is I hope developers are looking at gameplay mechanics to see how can we improve
it. Yeah. Yeah. When are we getting the holodeck? Is what I'm...
yeah, yeah.
This whole conversation is going... No, okay.
Yeah. Exactly. So, like, yeah.
So, yeah.
But if it ain't broke... not necessarily...
You don't criticize it for still not being broke.
Exactly. Oh, it still works fine.
Yeah. I do want to get to our fantastic news for us.
Oh, yeah!
We...
Ba-da-da-da.
Oh, my God!
We got mail.
Oh, my God.
Here's the mail. It never fails. Oh, it makes me want to wag my tail.
No.
When it comes, I want to wail. Mail!
Oh,
throw
no.
that back. And oh, man.
This is the last one we ever did.
So, as I said before, good friend, longtime listener of the show, Michael, sent us some mail.
Sweet.
So, this is it. He says, I was wondering what your guys' thoughts on the PS4 Pro was. To me, it seems like an unnecessary half-step. Also, there was no such thing as good anime.
That's
best wishes, Michael.
That's a little stab at you.
So first off, F you. There is such a thing as good anime. Have you seen Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood? Because if you haven't, then you should watch it. But to his actual question, our thoughts on the PS4 Pro.
Thoughts on it kind of goes hand in hand with the topic a little bit of like.
Yeah, but this is just like a whole system.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no story involved.
So looking at
unless you're looking at the story of Sony.
Oh my God.
So looking at the specs, basically, PS4 Pro is just a high-end version of PS4. That's what it comes down to. They even say that. PS4 Pro, this is straight from the PlayStation website, PS4 Pro is a high-end version of PS4.
Yeah.
That is capable of outputting 4K graphics, HDR support, smoother and more stable frame rates, and 4K video streaming.
What's funny is I feel like the frame rates are fine, and I'm not frame weight, especially when it comes to speaking. I guess I'm not a techie, you know.
It's very hard to notice the difference.
It's running smoothly, it's running smoothly to me. I don't understand. Like, well, I got some lag because I only got like 40 frames per second, or you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I've played enough games, I think, now that I've, like, I can notice the difference, like, wow, this is running kind of slow, but I'm okay with it. But, it's like, if a game is running smooth, if it makes the jump to 60, I can hardly tell. You know, like...
No, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, so, the big thing is, in my opinion, this isn't going to be a necessary console to buy. Don't feel pressured like you need to buy this thing.
Well, they're not going to make, like, exclusive games
for it. There's not going to be exclusive games for it. So, you know, and if you don't have... They even say on here, like, oh, well, can I... Does PS4 Pro require a 4K TV? And they say, no, it doesn't. But if you want the best out of the system, you're going to need a 4K TV or perhaps better.
So you need the TV, too.
Yeah, which, if you just have a like, 1080p HP, like, HD TV, it'll still be smoother, and the graphics will still be better, but they won't be what the full capacity of it is.
Right, right.
So if you have money, go for it, basically. Because it costs $400.
Yeah.
Plus whatever TV
you need to buy. That's just not worth it at all to
me. For me, it's not. If I already had a 4K TV, I'd consider it.
I'd still say no, probably. Well,
I'd probably still say no. I'd still say no.
Unless they could be like, you know what, the PS5 or whatever isn't going to come out for a decade or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. And this is also, this is coming alongside of, they're also going to release a PS4 Slim, which is a cheaper version of PS4 that's slimmer.
So get that one.
So if you haven't bought a PS4. If you haven't bought a PS4 and you're kind of thinking, well, should I get PS4 Pro? If you have $400, if you are willing to spend $400.
I'd say if you had the TV, maybe.
Yeah,
if you have a TV, I'd consider it. If you don't have a PS4,
yeah, that's what I was getting at. If you have $400,
totally shit all over your
and you have a 4K TV, I'd say yeah, go for it. Might as well at that point. But if you're kind of going back and forth and you don't have a 4K TV, yeah, your TV's HD and yeah, it'll still be better looking. But if you just get a PS4 Slim. You probably wouldn't be able to notice the difference from a PS4 Slim to, or just a regular PS4 to a PS4 Pro on a regular HD TV. So, as regards to the question Michael was sending, is like, it kind of feels like an unnecessary half step. Yes and no. I'd say yes. It definitely feels like an unnecessary half step if you don't have a really good 4K TV, HDR compatible TV.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're obviously moving towards something with this.
Oh, okay.
And it is a step towards something. They can't exactly, they might not have the capabilities to just straight up come out with a PlayStation 5. But they sort of want to let consumers know that they are onto something, maybe? You know?
Yeah.
And they obviously don't want Xbox have that first.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. We got 4K, whatever. You know?
Right, right.
Because Xbox right now only has the Slim thing.
Yeah. And that's totally Sony just going, like, we could do better.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point.
Like, buy a holiday season.
Yeah, we're going to do
buy
this
a PS4 Pro.
Because... competition.
And
PS4 unnecessary step.
PS4 Pro more life proof probably than an Xbox One Slim because you know, it has that better upgrade quality. So if you get an Xbox Slim, but then the Xbox Pro One Pro comes out, it's going to call, you know, like, and then you're like, "Ah, I have a good TV. I could, you know, just
Xbox expert."
Yeah.
The expert. You heard it here first. That's what they're calling it. The expert.
So yeah, and you know, it doesn't. It's not going to be an exclusive system. They are repeating that in this article.
Sounds like
And they're also making it known it's not a risk if you buy a PS4 Pro. You can take all your saved game data that you have on your PlayStation 4 now, transfer it over. All the PS4 games that you already have that have been made before PS4 Pro and before developers had that spec option, better specs option, they are still going to run smoother and look slightly better.
Yeah.
On the PS4 Pro. They're not going to be what the new games that are coming out that have that. Right. And the new games that are coming out, you can still play on your regular PS4 and they'll still look really good.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's not a bad thing because as a consumer, I'm not going to buy it. But I know a lot of people are. And that's fine. Because they have those TVs or they're okay with upgrading even though they might not necessarily have a better TV right now.
It's the same thing as like, I need an iPhone 7 because it's new.
Yep. I'm not going to get an iPhone 7.
Nope.
Because I don't like what it has to offer.
Yeah.
As far as the PS4 Pro, I like what it has to offer, but I just can't do it right now with the TV that I have.
Yeah.
You know, and what I'm more excited about is VR, PlayStation VR, and that's going to be
just one step towards the holodeck, man.
Yeah, and that's going to be just as compatible, with the regular PS4 than PS4 Pro. They say, like, oh, is PlayStation VR only going to be for PS4 Pro? And they say, nope, you can do it on just regular PS4. So, cool. I'm more excited about that and excited to see what that looks like.
True.
then, because it's not just spec upgrade, it's a new experience. Yeah. That's...
So if you want your emails answered, look at us. We'll rant about it, argue about it, make jokes about it.
Say your name.
Yeah.
Give you a high five, virtual high five.
Virtual high fives, which are great.
I love them. So, where can they email us at?
Where can they email? I don't have it memorized.
It's thebrothersgeek@yahoo.com. Or follow us on Twitter. Post it on Twitter @brothersgeekpod. That's our handle. And make sure you look at our YouTube, The Brothers Geek, as well.
Yeah, check out that Legends of Drunkoon. Be responsible, but have a relaxing night. Play a drinking game with us. And there'll be more to come.
There will be more to come. So,
Talk about more to come. Sneak peek maybe next week, if we get a chance, depending on if we can or not. Will Magnificent Seven come out by then?
Yeah, Friday, probably. I think it comes out.
So, first of all, we should watch the original Western Magnificent Seven, and then watch it.
Yeah. And so that'll probably lead into...
And then just watch Seven Samurai and just call it a day.
Yeah. And that'll probably lead into the topic of remakes. So we talked about sequels. What about remakes? So that's sort of what I was thinking about for next episode. Yeah.
There's only one really good.
There's only... Yeah. So... there's probably more. There's probably more, but... So stay tuned for that. Make sure you give us 5-star rating if you like this episode. Leave a comment. It'll help us get our name out there more if you do that.
Write a review.
Leave us a comment on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. Leave us a little thing. Because you're in a special place right now. Because I will respond to you. Because I got that time.
Personally.
So, if you're into that. Do that, but it'll help us out a lot if you do that. So I think that's it for this episode, man.
I think so it is hot as hell in here.
It
so.
Is I'm sweating.
Yeah, me too.
I got gooch sweat.
Oh, come on. That's what you're gonna end on.
Yeah, it is.
All right,
this is Patrick signing off,
and Chris,
we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.